Good afternoon, everybody. This is the afternoon session of the Portland City Council on January 10th, 2018. Carla, please call the roll.
Here.
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 Here. This is a message I'm required to read at the beginning of every council session, so please bear with me. The purpose of council meetings is to do the city's business, including hearing from the community on issues of concern. In order for us to hear from everyone and give due consideration to matters before the council, we must all endeavor to preserve the order and decorum of these meetings. To make sure that the process is clear for everyone, I want to review some of the basic guidelines, which I hope make everybody feel comfortable, welcomed, and respected, and to ensure that decorum is maintained for all of us. There's two, for this meeting, there is one opportunity for public testimony. We'll be taking public testimony after the staff report. You will have 2 minutes to speak, so please plan your remarks for 2 minutes. State your name for the record. We don't need people's addresses. If you're a lobbyist, you need to disclose which organization that you are lobbying for. If you're here representing an organization, please identify the organization. When you have about 30 seconds left, you're going to see a yellow light go off on the panel there. When your time is up, there will be a red light, and you'll hear a beeper. We ask you to conclude your remarks when you get to the red light. Any conduct that disrupts the meeting, for example, shouting or interrupting the testimony of other people, is not allowed. Interrupting council deliberations is not allowed. People who disrupt the meeting face ejection from the meeting. If there's a disruption, I'll issue a warning that if any further disruption occurs, anyone who is disrupting the meeting will be subject to ejection for the remainder of the meeting. And if you fail to leave the meeting when you're asked to leave, you can be subjected to arrest for trespassing. If you want to show support, thumbs up. If you don't like it, thumbs down. Just don't shout. Expect that here at this table, everybody gets to testify. Everybody gets to express their opinion. Your opinions may not necessarily comport with what's being said, but let's all be respectful of the process. So with that, please read the first item.
Item 41, clarify stormwater billing methodology.
Colleagues, before I turn this over to Commissioner Fish, I just want to make a procedural point here. As you can tell by the large number of people that are here, the large number of people that want to testify, this is a very important and a very complex subject. This is the first meeting on this subject. We're going to hear the staff presentation. We're going to take the testimony. Then we will make what we can of all of that testimony and all the different perspectives. We are not rushing through this. It will not come back to the council until we're ready to have it come back to the council. So I just want people to understand there will be plenty of opportunity for thoughtful input on these policies. I also want to personally apologize. I have to leave at 2:45. Today, so I'm going to be leaving a little bit earlier, but I'll turn the gavel over to the council president at that time. And if you're testifying at that point, I apologize. Please don't take it personally. With that, Commissioner Fish, you're up.
Thank you, Mayor and colleagues. I have some brief talking points. The Bureau of Environmental Services manages the city's stormwater system and works with community members, businesses, and property owners to keep streets, public and private properties clear of stormwater. Stormwater runoff can cause erosion and flooding, damaging public and private property. It also carries dirt, oil, and other pollutants to rivers and streams. The Bureau of Environmental Services aims to develop rates that treat all customers fairly. In that spirit, we have Caitlin Lovell and Jonas Beery from the Bureau of Environmental Services and Eric Schaffner from the City Attorney's Office to present the Bureau's recommendation to amend city code clarifying and updating its stormwater billing methodology. Now, here's the good news. Today's proposal does not affect the charges paid by a typical ratepayer. Let me say that again. Today's proposal, if accepted by the council, does not affect the charges of the typical ratepayer. As the mayor said, today is a first reading. It will provide an opportunity for the Bureau to give an overview of the proposed ordinance. It will allow the public to be heard and council colleagues to ask questions, and then at some point in the future, this matter will come back to council for further discussion. I'm going to turn it over now to Jonas Beery. If you could please begin the presentation.
Great. Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. Jonas Beery. I manage the Business Services Group for the Bureau of Environmental Services. As the Commissioner mentioned, here with me is Caitlin Lavelle, also from BES, and Eric Schaffner from the City Attorney's Office. Commissioner Fish asked us to start today with kind of a quick review of some basic building blocks for the conversation. So I'm going to start with a very quick BES, Bureau of Environmental Services 101. Caitlin's going to provide some basic information about stormwater. Eric's going to talk about the proposed code changes, and then I'll finish up with some financial considerations and community impacts. So to jump right in, a little quick background on BES and our billing, kind of the 30-second elevator pitch style. BES has two primary functions. Those are to provide sanitary sewer service and provide stormwater management, and we bill for both of those services. The billing methodology that we developed is consistent with national best practices, as it has been for many decades, and it aims to treat all ratepayers fairly. The BES portion of the utility bill includes two primary components. One that's addressed towards the sewer sanitary sewer component. That's for the average single-family residential ratepayer. That's about 60% of that BES bill, and then the remaining approximately 40% is allocated towards stormwater. And I think with that, I'll hand to Caitlin to talk a little bit more about the stormwater component.
Thank you, Jonas. Good afternoon. My name is Caitlin Lovell. I manage the Science Integration Division for the Bureau of Environmental Services. Commissioner Fish invited me to provide you with some of the reasons why we manage stormwater. At BES, we manage stormwater to protect public health and safety and the environment. Portland receives 37 inches of rain a year, which is the equivalent of 85 billion gallons of water. That is 128,700 Olympic-sized swimming pools. Development changes the amount of stormwater, the quality of the stormwater, and the location and manner in which it leaves a development site. We manage our system to address all of these things. And to do so, we rely on a continuous functioning network that includes pipes, swales, ditches, pumps, eco-roofs, and natural systems, including wetlands, floodplains, and vegetation. Typical impacts from stormwater that we see are flooding, pollution from roads, parking lots, building materials, cars, manufacturing, and other land use, erosion, and impacts and threats to our existing infrastructure. All of these impacts affect public health, safety, property, and our rivers, streams, fish, and wildlife. As a result of these impacts, we are subject to multiple state and federal regulations that obligate us to avoid, prevent, and remediate the impacts from stormwater. Today, we are proposing code updates to explain more clearly how the Bureau assesses charges to support the city's management of these impacts. Eric Schaffner from the City Attorney's Office is here to explain those changes.
Good afternoon, Eric Schaffner, City Attorney's Office.
Afternoon.
The proposed code changes have two main goals. First, the changes would remove potentially ambiguous language from the definition of impervious area. The amount of a property's impervious area is the basis of the city's calculation of the stormwater management charges assessed to that property's owner. The current definition relies on a description of the impervious area's visible characteristics, such as the surface material or what's underneath it. The new definition would focus instead on the ability or inability of that area to absorb stormwater. That is the approach that has been used for years in the city's two main stormwater and sewer-related administrative rules, the Stormwater Management Manual, and the Sewer and Drainage Facilities Design Manual. It is also, in fact, consistent with the intent behind the current code language, even if that language wasn't expressed as clearly as we would have liked. Surfaces such as asphalt and concrete are listed in the new language, however, so that neither the city nor property owners will necessarily have to calculate runoff coefficients, but the city can take into account less impervious surfaces such as permeable pavers and porous concrete when assessing the charge. Second, the proposed code changes would clarify the purposes of and the differences between the on-site and off-site components of the city's stormwater management charge. The on-site component reimburses the city for capturing, conveying, treating, and disposing of stormwater that leaves a private property and flows into the city's system. It comprises 35% of the overall stormwater management charge and can be reduced or eliminated entirely if the property owner applies for a Clean River Rewards discount. the offsite component is assessed to cover the cost of managing stormwater that falls on public rights of way, such as streets and city-owned property. It represents the remaining 65% of the overall charge. No reduction of that component is possible because it is assumed that all ratepayers benefit from having streets that are clear of water. The methodology behind those two components of the charge has been in place since the late 1970s. The calculation of stormwater management charges will not change as a result of the new language. Thank you.
Go
ahead, Dan.
No, I can wait till the...
Okay. Yeah, so just to wrap up a couple more minutes, wanted to let you know why this is coming today. We know that this is a piece of code that we get questions about occasionally. Often those come in the phone of phone calls from ratepayers, and we're able to answer those questions that way. We also know there's been a handful in 2016 and 2017 of administrative review committee appeals related to stormwater methodology and charges, so motivating to come to council now to get that corrected. Just a kind of a pause to anticipate a few questions that I expect may be out there, questions you may have about the proposed update. Is there a financial impact to the change? No, there's not an impact. As the commissioner said, this doesn't change our billing methodology. It doesn't change the bill amounts for the typical ratepayer. What would the impact be if one property owner or subset of property owners doesn't pay stormwater charges? The impact of that is our cost to maintaining the stormwater system doesn't change. Those costs are spread out to the remaining ratepayers within the city. Who benefits from this change? All ratepayers benefit by updating the stormwater methodology to be clear and consistent. Last point I'll make is we did include a code fact sheet, create a code fact sheet, including information about today's session. We posted that on BES's policy webpage in December. We also sent a direct courtesy email to a number of customers that we knew might have some interest in this code change. So we've done our best to reach out to folks who may be interested. Understand, as was stated earlier, this is a kind of a complicated and complex piece of code, so wanted to sort of salt the discussion today. As the mayor and commissioner noted, we'll collect questions and then have an opportunity to follow up with any responses to your offices or to the public as needed. That's the end of the talk that we have, and I think at this point we'll open to questions or testimony.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Well, can you put this in context of Vigor Industries? I think they sued us, or maybe they maybe it was an administrative review they lost, but they sent, you know, a quite pointed email a couple weeks ago saying that this is an end run around, I believe it was a court ruling. So is it, has there been a court ruling on this matter? And just explain the Vigor Industries
right
role here.
Well, I haven't seen that particular communication, so I'm not sure what they're referring to, but I can tell you that they didn't lose the administrative review committee hearing. They won it.
Point. They won it, and yet
right.
they were saying these code changes were sort of an end run around that prevailing decision, I guess.
Right, and I mentioned at the beginning that part of the impetus for this was to correct arguably ambiguous language in the code. My opinion is that the code was not sufficiently ambiguous to justify Vigor winning that appeal, but nevertheless they won it, and so the city reimbursed them, I believe, $160,000. These code changes will not affect that retroactively, but it will bring the calculations for all ratepayers, including Vigor, more in line with what was always intended and what has been the practice all along.
And what was the point they won on?
Well, the old code, the current code language has the word ground in it. Ground. In other words, it says that the code, I can just read it to you, the stormwater, the question is whether the stormwater can percolate naturally into the ground. And the problem is that many of Vigor's usable paved surfaces are not over the ground, they're over the river. And as I explained, they could very well qualify if they fulfill the requirements for a discount for the on-site component of the charge. I think they're also asking for the city to, I don't know, remove or reduce the off-site component of the charge, which, as I mentioned, is not, you cannot reduce that, and that is because we're talking about managing stormwater throughout the city on the streets.
So did the administrative review determine that the portion of Vigor Industries property that's over the river directly is eligible for an on-site stormwater
the administrative review committee essentially decided that the city could not bill them for that area because of the use of the word ground in the code definition. It was that narrow.
So by changing this definition, we are unambiguously establishing our authority to assess a stormwater fee for that properties that
right.
connect directly to the river.
That's right.
Not into the ground.
Exactly, because if you're interested in some of the background, the stormwater offsite component of the charge is assessed based on impervious surface of the property itself, because that's used as a surrogate for determining how much of a benefit that property receives from the city's managing stormwater throughout the city. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's our presentation, Mayor.
Very good. Any further questions to the panel before I open it up for public?
I think we have one parent with a child that's asked to go first.
Yes. We have a tradition here when we have lots of people signed up, people with young children, people with disabilities. Just let the clerk know, and we'll put you up to the front of the line. Happy to do that. If there's somebody here with a child, come on up. And then Carla after this.
First, if you could, next two.
Yeah, okay. Please.
The first two on the list are Ron Schmidt and Bob Solinger, and they'll be followed by John Weigant, Alan Sprott, and Diana Andreessen.
Very good. Again, name for the record. If you
thank you, Mayor, Council. My name is Ted Labby. I represent the Urban Green Spaces Institute. I also happen to be on the Portland Utility Commission, but I'm here today speaking as an individual and not as a representative of the pub.
Thank you.
So thank you for the opportunity to speak. I think that was a very excellent introduction to the issue before you today. This really is just a clarification of the stormwater rate charges that we have. We're not changing anything. You know, we all, whether we you know, 100% infiltrate our stormwater on our site or not, we all use our roads, our public infrastructure. We rely on trucks that deliver food and materials to our homes. To the stores that we shop at. So there's a reason for, there's a very reasonable and structured set of conditions around the rate structure that makes sense. And I was a little dismayed to hear that one party has kind of stirred the pot up and created a lot of confusion with folks around the legitimacy of these charges. You know, we're here to really strongly support the reason for that, and that this is really, you know, to keep our rivers clean. This benefits a whole host of native species that the city has prioritized for conservation, clean water. We do not want to see these rate structures compromised to the point where it undermines the ability to manage the stormwater infrastructure and clean water. So I just want to offer my support for this clarification. For other members of the public who are here curious, this changes nothing. It's still possible for you to do changes on your land that, you know, reduce your stormwater rate charges. Nothing in the proposed changes will change any of that. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners Udalli, Fritz, Salzman, and Fish. Thank you for all your service. My name is Ron Schmidt, and I am a homeowner of Jansen Beach Moorage, which is a crowdfunded moorage. We're also renters from the DSL. If we were kicked out, there'd be no place for our homes to go to. I am a director of High Noon, the neighborhood association recognized by the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, the only representative democracy of your 96 neighborhood associations. And as you know from a few weeks ago, CNAC, thank you for your reaffirmation and your applause of the volunteers of the city. I hope to continue to do that. Today, though, I speak as the president of the Waterfront Organizations of Oregon. Our membership includes marinas and floating home moorages on the Willamette and Columbia Rivers within the city of Portland. We represent about 1,000 floating homeowners in Portland. We also represent tens of thousands of businesses, employees, and boaters who rely on the water for their livelihoods, their homes, and their respite. I'm here on behalf of our membership to request that the City Council vote no on the ordinance proposed by the Bureau of Environmental Services to change the definition of impervious surfaces in city code. Our membership views this ordinance and the pretense that it is a clarification as a veiled attempt to permanently raise stormwater fees on a targeted group of ratepayers. On November 2015, ratepayers in Portland floating home mortgages saw their stormwater fees double, some cases quadruple, without warning. The reason for that is the Bureau of Environmental Services broke their decades of policy, ignored the city code to assess stormwater fees on floating homes. Fortunately, this action was challenged by vigor, and they did win by their own appeal committee. I see that I've got 13 seconds left. I've got 2 minutes more to talk about. I want you to realize that this is something that did not need to be forced upon us. It was forced upon us. Please, let's take time. Thank you very
Mayor,
much.
Can I ask a question?
Commissioner Fish, you bet.
Because Mr. Schmidt represents a larger class of people, I think he should have an extra minute or two because I think it's important. And Mr. Schmidt, the question that I want to drill down on, because we're making no decision today and we've invited the public to come in and give us feedback, is could you specifically tell us how this proposal would impact the rates of a particular houseboat that you have raised a concern about?
I have spent the last 4 weeks working with your people of BES, also calling into your office. I am a volunteer. I have so many hours in a week, in a day, so many hours in an hour.
I don't want to cut into your time, sir. And I got, I think,
Mayor,
four.
Do I have to be interrupted?
Without objection, please go.
Thank you very much. I compliment every city worker, everyone that is either paid or volunteer, but I have dealt with a whole lot of people that make a whole lot more money than I do on this action, and it seems like every time that we're dealing with something, there was something thrown our direction, and we had to grab it and run, and that person was on holiday for the next week. This did not have to come up during the holidays. There is no emergency aspect to this at all, and frankly, I'm really tired that the citizens of Portland have to deal with this procedure.
Mayor, can I reclaim my time for a second? We've extended the clock because first of all, I have enormous respect for Mr. Schmidt and the work he's done in High Noon and the work he's done on protecting open spaces out at his way. This is a public hearing, not to flog people for whatever perceived procedural errors.
I agree.
We're having a public hearing in which I, as the commissioner in charge, am asking you specifically, where do we get it wrong, and how would this impact the rates paid by a homeowner? If you don't have specific answer to that today, sir, then I would ask you to make a follow-up appointment or send me an email. But I can't get at the heart of your concern if I don't understand how it might impact a ratepayer.
I believe since we have these meetings going on that written testimony can be sent to the mayor's office, to the city council. We will put together any information you want in terms of how much we've already been paying for our stormwater fees for our upland services. You're going to find out that most of the people behind me that represent the various marinas in the city of Portland have done everything possible as good citizens to make certain nothing environmentally is affected. Most of us are part of the Clean Water Marina program already. What you don't realize is that there are unique things, and we are paying our fair share. I mean, we've got a whole lot of uplands. We've got over a half a mile of parking that is impervious surfaces, carports. We have sidewalks, a half a mile for 175 homes at my mortgage that we're paying for that. Yeah, we do have a 35% credit for the on-site because we are good stewards of the land. We are paying our 65. This is essentially saying we want you to pay more than what the program has paid before.
So just Mr. Schmidt, just to be utterly fair to you because that's the purpose of this hearing.
Thank you.
When I called you back five times, left five messages because I couldn't read. No, let me just finish. Five times I called you. Each time I said, because I have a lot of respect for you, Ron. You're on the right side of a lot of fights and from my point of view. And you have a lot of credibility in this, building. And my question each time was, help me understand how this impacts a particular ratepayer. Walk me through it. Now, we don't have to do that today because the mayor has made very clear we're not making a decision today. But what is helpful to me is to see a typical customer that you're speaking for, someone who maybe has a houseboat or something else. Show me how, under this proposal, they pay more, and why you believe that's unfair. That's what I need to see. Because you've already heard testimony that under this clarification, the typical ratepayer will pay nothing more.
Are you saying that this will not cause our houses to go up more from when you started taxing 2 years ago houseboat roofs that never had been in the system before?
I am simply asking you on this proposal for you to show us how it would increase someone's rate. Just walk us through it, because that's, you have every right to do so, but so far you have not submitted that. That's what I need to see in black and white.
So you want to see from BES the satellite imagery that they first hit us with 2 years ago.
We're not talking about 2 years ago, sir. We're talking about the impact of this clarification. I'll follow up with you after the hearing, but I want you to have every opportunity to demonstrate to us how there's a cost impact and what you think we should do if there is one to mitigate that impact. That's the purpose of this hearing, and I want to give you every opportunity to do so. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. And if you have written testimony, or if anybody else has written testimony, I strongly encourage that. I'll speak for myself. I love written testimony. And so if you have longer remarks than what you can fit into, fit into public testimony, I'm really interested in that.
Mayor?
And if you give it to the clerk, it's even better, because then she'll photocopy it and distribute to all of us.
Thank you. And we have 1 week until the next hearing to turn in that written testimony.
Oh, no. I think we're going to keep the record open on this.
Mr. Schmidt, there's no reasonable request that you would make today that would be rebuffed by this council. As I've said repeatedly, our interest is having a hearing, getting feedback, and getting it right.
Wonderful.
And if you feel that requires additional time to submit testimony, we'll make every accommodation to you, as we have every other time you've come to council on an issue of concern.
Thank you very much, council.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate you.
Appreciate your being here very much. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Bob Solinger. I'm the conservation director for the Portland Audubon Society. And, this microphone seems to have a little bit of an echo.
Push it a little bit farther away. Yeah, there you go. Thanks.
Better. I'm here today to testify on behalf of Audubon. One of our primary goals is a healthy urban landscape, particularly our urban waterways. So we work on things like Superfund, river restoration, salmon recovery, protection of key natural areas like West Staten Island. And in fact, we've worked with many of the people in this room here today, and they've fought on the side of the environment. We do support the proposal that is in front of you right now to clarify the stormwater code. We do believe that these facilities should be part of that structure. As already been noted, we all use the off-site stormwater amenities, our public roads, our public right-of-ways, and we all need to contribute to that. If we don't charge a certain segment of the community, that just increases the load on the rest of the community, or we underfund our system and we degrade our environment. As far as the on-site issues go, as has already been noted as well, when you create impervious surface, and that's what we are doing here when we talk about roofs and docks and things like that, you change the way the water enters the river and you change the pollutant load that is in that water. It has a degrading effect. Those structures also have direct effect on the ecology of the river. In terms of things like salmon recovery and habitat, when you're putting in docks and facilities with roofs on them, you're having a direct impact on the environment itself too. And so we believe it is appropriate to put stormwater fees on those sites and to charge them for that. We all need to pay our way in. And all these investments we're making in recovering the damage we've done in the past will be for naught if we don't take care of the problems we're creating today. That's what this does. It allows us to have the structure for on- and off-site impacts. And so we support it. One last thing I do want to put in the record, and I know I'm running out of time, is that the folks that started this whole discussion, we're Vigor Industrial, and Vigor Industrial has not been a good player when it comes to the river environment. In fact, they were fined last week by the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality $12,128 for failing to do the required monitoring of stormwater on their site for 2016 and 17. DEQ notes that failing to comply with the monitoring requirements is considered to be one of the most serious violations that they penalize for. So I think it's important to look at the actors that are really behind this and consider that as well. But we do encourage you to go forward. We encourage you to listen to everybody and hear the concerns. But ultimately, we need a decision that protects our environment.
Thank you, sir. Next three, please.
Are John Wygant, Alan Sprott, Diana Andreessen.
Okay.
Good afternoon, sir. Would you like to start?
Yes, I'm John Wygant. I believe my written testimony is in front of you. I'll summarize it quickly. Part of it comes from the issue of what is stormwater. I looked through the search criteria in the Portland Code and found 89 pages of references to stormwater and didn't find a definition. I confess I didn't go through all 89 pages. The Webster's Collegiate Dictionary does not define stormwater. Wikipedia has a pretty good definition of stormwater, and it says that stormwater has associated with it a runoff and drainage ways. Floating homes and docks have no runoff except what dribbles into the river from the roof. And if we're talking about rainwater, that's not really quite the same as stormwater. So I would claim that your whole definition of stormwater really doesn't apply to floating homes and their docks, because there is no runoff, there are no drainage ways. The water just goes into the river as it would have if the floating homes hadn't been there. One of the changes in definition here is to permit these fees. I would suggest that there are some other definitions which I've listed which would suggest that these fees should not apply to places like the Columbia River and the Willamette River and any area that's got free-flowing water. I pretty much covered the benefit to the cost. We do not have any stormwater that has any impact on the environment. Now, that of the roads and streets and keeping those clear, I consider those to be urban services that are generally paid by taxes. And my time is up. So the rest of it's all here for you to read. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Commissioners and Mayor. My name is Alan Sprott, and I'm Vice President of Environmental Affairs for Vigor Industrial. I'm here today to ask you to say no to the code changes before you. As individual utility ratepayers, we have very little, if any, recourse in challenging BES assessments. As such, we rely heavily upon City Council to closely scrutinize BES's efforts to increase revenue, whether from rate increases or changing the code to secure new sources of revenue. In this case, BES's claim that this is a matter of clarifying a definition in the code is simply not true. An administrative review committee decision and decades of interpretation by prior BES officials provide perfect clarity that the definition of impervious area does not apply to overwater structures of any type, and this is what this ordinance is all about. The BES is mischaracterizing the purpose of this proposed ordinance. It is not intended to clarify stormwater billing definitions or billing methodology. Rather, it is an attempt to create a new source of revenue by imposing stormwater fees on a class of structures that have not been subject to the fee since adoption of the utility code in 1977. Overwater structures, which includes docks, piers, and floating homes, have intentionally never been included in the stormwater rate structure imposed by BES. The BES is bringing this ordinance forward in response to losing an appeal to the Administrative Review Committee brought by my company after BES imposed a stormwater fee on overwater structures at our facility for the very first time. In November of 2015, in an attempt to grow revenue, BES abruptly began assessing stormwater fees on overwater structures. This new assessment was in response to the need to curtail excessive utility rate increases that had become the subject of much public opposition. Just a month later, in January of 2016, Commissioner Fish penned an op-ed in the Oregonian lauding the utility bureaus for holding annual rate increases below 5%, showing the political motivation of BES's attempts to capture new revenue. What actually occurred was a partial shift in BES's revenue burn to certain ratepayers that drastically and immediately drove up their costs. For example, we would have been much better off with a rate increase of 10%, since BES's new methodology of assessing overwater structures immediately added $70,000, or roughly 17%, to our annual stormwater bill. even without this new assessment, our current annual stormwater charges are for over $400,000, even though we manage all of our own stormwater on site and are investing millions in stormwater collection and treatment technologies at our facility as part of the Superfund cleanup.
Thank you.
In short, we are already paying for more than our fair share of stormwater management, and we are concerned with the apparent lack of transparency regarding how BES has gone about this revenue increase.
Thank you.
Can I say, I have this sneaking feeling we're going to have a hearing that spends a lot of time with people making unfounded charges about the ethics of the Bureau or about their view of the propriety of covering utility taxes and things like that. Can I just refocus us a little bit on the question before us? We have code language. We've been utterly transparent about the reason for this code language fix. We're asking people to give us guidance as to how to get it right. And I would say, Mr. Sprott, and I have a lot of respect for you, and we have a lot of history. The Bureau of Environmental Services today, as you know, the rate that they charge is well below the rate of inflation. There aren't a lot of utilities that can say that. So to frame this as a money grab, I think, is unfortunate. We have seen year after year reductions in overall rate structure consistent with the pledge that I made 5 years ago when I took over the bureaus. The question before us today is whether this code proposal gets it right. And I appreciate that you've used the bulk of your time to malign the Bureau of Environmental Services, and that is your prerogative. But the question before us is, have we gotten this code fix right? And if you believe that it either results in an inequity or a cost that's not reasonable, we've overstated the environmental benefits, or we were out of step with other utilities, I would welcome that testimony in writing from you, and we will give it full consideration before we come back to council.
Yeah, and I want to second that. Let's try to do something different than Congress. Let's not infer what people's motivations are. Let's really stick to the policy. I appreciate the specifics of your testimony, and again, I'd like to have a copy if I don't already have a copy of your written testimony. That'd be very helpful to me.
You've got it, and with all due respect, we started this conversation with BES in 2015, and we spent over $50,000 in attorney fees trying to get it right. BES came in and assessed a fee on our facility that they in the past had explicitly excluded. They accidentally tried to do it in 2013, and we pointed it out to them.
Fair enough.
To answer your question about the definition, I'm not saying
outside of this chamber you can't have that conversation.
This is the only opportunity we've had to have this conversation. We've tried to do it your way, and we couldn't get through to people.
You have called me?
No, we have tried to deal with BES at the
Mr. Sprott, you've neither reached out to the mayor nor me on this. No, but please, you've neither reached out to the mayor nor me on this. For the umpteenth time, and I don't want to become a broken record, every single person here today has the freedom to come and testify whatever they want. They want to use their 2 minutes making unfounded claims about the Bureau or the intention or motivations. You can do that. But the purpose of this hearing is to have specific guidance as to the proposed code change. If you have a better idea, if you have a concern about the way it's constructed.
Well, we've talked this into the ground.
The idea is let the current definition stand and don't change anything. Okay. We do have concerns with the proposed definition, and A, it references the stormwater manual as having the definition of impervious area. There is no defined term for impervious area in the stormwater manual. And B, it gives far too much leeway to BES staff to make the determination of what is impervious area, and we just don't feel comfortable with that.
Both are very helpful. I will reach out to you,
and I appreciate that. Thank you. Thanks for being here. Well,
let me just ask you, Mr. Sprott, when did the Administrative Review Committee issue its decision?
November of this year, October, so November.
Fairly recently.
Yeah, so it just happened.
Okay.
And then this is happening.
And you challenged it. Your challenge started in 2015?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I just have one question. Would you care to address the issue raised by Audubon regarding the DEQ concern that you haven't been monitoring your stormwater?
I'm sorry, Mr. Challenger is mistaken. DEQ did issue a penalty for which they alleged that we didn't monitor our discharges. That's not true. There was no discharge to monitor. So we're appealing that to DEQ. But
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, both of you. Next three, please.
Catch 22. Jan Zwerts, Nikki Charlton and Joy Hoffaker, and they'll be followed by Kathy Evanson, David Beavers, and Chris Rick.
Thanks for coming in. Good afternoon. You're going to pass. Very good.
We do read follow-up emails, so if you want to put something in writing, we will certainly read it.
Yeah, and lots of people don't feel comfortable testifying, and that's okay. So if somebody's watching this on TV or if there's somebody here, always feel free to email, send a letter, call. We'll take testimony in multiple ways.
Can Joy pass her time to someone?
No, we don't unfortunately allow that under council rules. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for allowing me to speak here at the council. I'm Jan Swertz, a homeowner at Jansen Beach Mortgage. I'm a retired locomotive engineer, a volunteer at the Willamette Shore Trolley as their superintendent of operations, keeping 6 miles of city-owned operation right-of-way open for future transit use. But to get back to what we're talking about here, at my home, all water falling on our roofs naturally flows into the river. It appears to me that the council is attempting to change the laws of physics by stating a home floating on a river is an impervious surface. Specifically around the roof, yes, but everything that falls on the roof immediately goes into the river. Raising the costs of home ownership and renters, many who are on fixed incomes, will only make the problem of the ongoing homeless crisis worse, as many of these people are being directly impacted by this raise. We've had to raise our mortgage fees $25 per person per month. That's about $300 for each and every residence that the Jansen Beach Mortgage is paying an additional this year. So this, if we lose people, we will start losing people, and they will have to go someplace. Someone will have to go to the street. There's that thin margin for people living on the river. Yes, there will be more people moving in, but they will be people who do not have the ongoing knowledge of the river, and therefore they will not be able to react properly when some kind of fuel spill or some other river accident happens. This has saved Portland countless times in the past, having a community on the river able to react quickly and swiftly to ongoing problems. So I do not wish to see our expenses go up each and every year because we have to pay an additional fee for stormwaters. We're already paying on our parking lots. I do not see why we should also be paying on our floating homes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor.
Good afternoon.
And commissioners. My name is Nikki Charlton, and excuse me, I'm the president of JBMI Jansen Beach. I'm also an attorney and a retired nurse, so I have a great interest in the safety of our mortgage and its well-being. I wanted to address first, with no disrespect, that I don't think this is such a complicated issue. What we have is we're being taxed on rainwater that falls on our roof that goes directly into the river. I heard testimony that these stormwater fees are based on the sanitary sewer component and stormwater runoff for public health and environment. We have no environmental impact from the rainwater off our roofs. I'd like to point out, whatever's on our roof is only dust that's in the air because we don't have trees growing over our floating homes. We don't have anything else that would accumulate on our floating home roofs. There's no public health impact to that. I also heard that the components that justify this runoff tax or fee is capturing, conveying, and disposing of this runoff water. And in fact, what happens in our floating home is it goes right where it would be disposed of naturally. I also want to point out that, as Jan just testified, as president, I'm part of the board, and we evaluate the budget every year. We did raise the rates this year, and a great deal of it was because of stormwater issues. We have a large parking lot. We pay for our structures. We pay for the parking lot and the structures. So we are actually being doubly taxed. If we had our home next to our parking lot or our garage, we would be paying one fee. But we aren't impacting the environment in any way. And I think that it would be be reasonable to say this is not a tax for us or a fee for us.
Mrs. Charlton, can I ask you a Ms. Charlton, can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
First of all, thank you for your very thoughtful testimony. And it would be useful, I think, to us if you gave us some breakdown following the hearing of the impact of this in terms of costs. You had another gentleman who testified recently
right.
about just general issue of affordability.
Yes.
That resonates with us. So any information you could give us that's not proprietary or confidential.
We can do that,
about
yes.
how you're passing these charges on, I think would be very helpful to the council.
That was already in my head to do, and I will
well,
get
you're
it
a lawyer
to,
and a nurse. That's as good as it
that's
gets.
That's why I took the notes.
So if you could follow up with us.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. And well, before we'll call up the next three, I just want to put a philosophical argument out there, and maybe people can reflect on it, and at some point, maybe after the meeting. I'm starting to get to the nub of this issue, having listened to the first several people testify. And at some point subsequent to this hearing, I will definitely ask about the science related to runoff from roofs into the river. But here's where the philosophical question comes in, and my suspicion is my ultimate decision may have to hinge on a philosophical question. I hate it when that happens because reasonable people can disagree on philosophical questions. This sounds almost like a school funding argument that some people are making, which is, I don't have kids in school, so why am I paying for it? And if that is not this, if your argument is that we're not polluting the river through runoff, it's just rain going into the river, and that strikes me as a very reasonable argument, not knowing the science, which I will ask for later, then is the argument we should be exempted from this because our particular homes don't contribute to this problem? And if that is the case, is what Mr. Salinger said a moot point? The question that he raised is, don't we all benefit from this kind of a thing, and isn't it a good idea to spread the costs? So I don't have a right answer formulated in my head, but it's just a philosophical question that has occurred to me, and maybe people could provide some color commentary as they're thinking about it. Next three
are Kathy Evanson, David Beavers, and Chris Rich, and they'll be followed by C.W. Taylor, Scott Gardner, and John Johnson.
Great to see you. Would you like to start, please?
Yes, thank you so much. My name is Kathy Evanson, and I'm a resident of the West Hayden Island Moorage. And I wanted to start by asking in the audience here, if there are any civil engineers present, could you please raise your hand?
Aren't you a civil engineer?
We have one. Anybody else?
I think we have one up here.
All right. So it does come down to science, and that is really what you're hearing, but you're hearing about it in layman's terms. Stormwater is affected by the amount of volume that hits the ground, the time that it takes to run off and hit a point of discharge, and the quality of that water. And those three items are the items that you control through your City of Portland stormwater management plan. When we come to a river, whether you guys realize it or not, water is impervious. Water cannot accept more water. So anything that hits it lands on top of it. It doesn't increase the amount of water. All right, so it's already an impervious surface, the rivers that we live on, and we are the floating home community, if you will. So when we say to you we're not increasing our discharge, it's because the river itself is considered impervious. We are an impervious surface sitting over the top of an impervious surface. The water already runs there. The water and the time of concentration that it takes for that water to run off is not increased. The amount of dirt that hits, or the water quality issue, is not increased either. That dirt would have already fallen there, and it already hit this river. So what we're saying is you don't provide us that service for that portion of our lands, and those are our homes that fall over the river. Your management plan actually states the city's MS4 permit does not cover one, two, three, four, five, six items, two of which are of most concern. The natural stream systems, you don't manage those because they're already managed. It also does not cover direct stormwater discharge from private property to natural stream systems that don't enter your MSA. So in essence, the water that hits our homes does not collect into a system and go to your system for treatment to come back out. You are actually exempted those, and you have in the past. And that's probably what Vigor Industries was trying to say in a more technical way. We're just trying to say it nicely. We do contribute philosophically. We are a contributor in the way that we contribute for offsite impacts. We do use these
Mayor,
routes.
I know we're about to lose you.
Commissioner Fish, and my meeting got changed, so you've got me till 3:30 for
okay.
better or worse.
So what I've tried to do is, in essence, show you, yes, there is a science, and there is philosophical.
Okay.
We want
to
be contributors. We do pay that 65% off site
Great.
Impacts.
Thank you.
And we pay for our area of land that does lie
Thank you.
On
And I let you go a little bit longer because you were responding directly to the question I asked,
yes,
and you did an
you
excellent
You wanted the
job.
Numbers, right?
Yeah, I
okay.
appreciated that.
I will give you
I
the
don't
num-
need it right now.
Oh, okay.
So
the economic impact you did ask about, and I feel bad that we weren't all prepared for that ahead of time, but for our mortgage alone, it's $15,000 a year. We are 52 homes.
$15,000 for 52 homes.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
And Mayor,
Commissioner Fish.
So
yes.
you're not leaving, is that right?
Not till 3:30.
So I just want to just put a little plug in here.
Yes, sir.
So
I was helpful. Thank you.
You bet. Mm-hmm.
I deeply appreciate, just as a member of this body, that we've now shifted to having a high-level conversation about the issue before us.
Yes, sir.
And very thoughtful people are now getting up and posing questions, philosophical, technical, scientific.
Yes, sir.
I want to assure you that our crack team is keeping a list of all those questions.
Yes, sir.
So you've just raised a question off of our stormwater management plan, and you've referenced some regulatory requirements.
Yes, sir.
What we will try to do to our best of our ability is capture the questions that were raised during this hearing and post the answers before we come back together so that we give you the best opportunity to hear from the Bureau what their response is to the very thoughtful questions you're raising.
Okay.
Thank you. I really appreciate your testimony.
You,
good afternoon, sir.
All right.
Next. Very good. Thank you, sir.
So, good afternoon, members of the council. My name is Christopher Rich. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Perkins Coie. Appreciate the opportunity to speak today. Good regulation generally needs to come from sound policy, clear criteria, and consistent application. While we need to be respectful, I think we also need to be accurate today. This issue is not coming up because of something that is new. In 2015, the city abruptly changed course and started attempting to charge for overwater structures that for 40 years had been deemed off limits in terms of impervious surface. The city actually put this policy in writing and submitted that to Vigor Industrial in 2013, which is why when Vigor took this issue, my client, to the Administrative Review Committee, your committee unanimously held that the Bureau of Environmental Services had incorrectly overreached in its definition of impervious surface. They told them that it was contrary to the code, and they directed them to refund 2 years of fees back to Vigor. So the city has actually been instructed as to what the current code says and what the definition means. In fairness, this ordinance is all about an attempt to undo the result of that hearing. Now, in terms of the actual ordinance itself, to Commissioner Fish's question, there are unfortunately defects of policy criteria and legal that I think this body needs to understand because they must be addressed. Impervious surface serves as a proxy for stormwater that needs to be managed. This is how the entire stormwater code is written. This is how your manuals are written. What this does is that it basically takes an area overwater structures that has never had any services that the city's provided and attempts to charge a stormwater management fee.
That's the argument that she was making. The
prior,
yes, okay. but it's embedded. It more significantly, it's embedded in your code in terms of how the code, the administrative rules, and the rate studies. What's the policy behind it? The city has already made this determination, and the reason that the ARC ruled was that it was not just a definitional issue based on one term, it was inconsistent with the code. And that is going to be a problem if the council moves forward under the current approach.
Thank you, sir.
Carla, your testimony?
Yes.
Can you give Carla your written testimony?
Yes, be happy to do
Thank
so.
You, sir.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate your testimony. Yes, sir.
Yes, my name is C.W. Taylor. I'm president of West Haven Island Mortgage. And I respect your time, and I'm not going to repeat what you guys have been listening to. Kath is one of our spokespersons from our mortgage, and we have one other one. So with that, I think you guys get the big picture. And I did not increase our dues and fees for this year because I feel that this is a no-brainer that you guys will understand, and we should win this case and do something about it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, all three of you. Next three, please.
Was there David Beavers? Okay, thank you. The next three are John Johnson, Bob Turner, and Bob Hume. And they'll be followed by Jim Hilland, I believe it is, George Donnerberg, and Sam Galbraith.
No. It's a police chief.
That's a good question. If we do have to change. I'm sorry. Would you like to start?
Certainly, Mayor and councilors. I'm John Johnson. I live at McAdam Bay, which is across from Oaks Park, and I have a 984-square-foot home, and I think it's going to cost me $300 a year to answer Commissioner Fish's question. I know that the city has to has reasonable reasons for this approach they're taking, but the I think the language they're using in this ordinance is kind of a bridge too far and an awkward and doesn't make sense in the plain sense of the English language, redefining things such as impermeable. We know what permeable and impermeable are, but you can't just change the definition by defining it differently. You can't say this is a black wall just because I say it's a black wall. It's just not understood that way. Now, for water-based activities such as marinas, there is no linkage whatsoever between either permeability or impermeability. We're the most permeable place in Portland. It goes straight in the river. And because there's no real, the city's really not involved, the bottom line, and therefore this user fee is irrational. It's not rationally linked to something that we're using. There being no linkage to a user fee, this is actually is a tax, and I'm sure there's a different way to get taxes passed. A completely separate point is that we have 1,000 homes, I think, on appeal, the current user fee structure. They want to get their money back. So you're talking about financial impact. We encourage the city to soberly look at what's happening here and refund the money to these people when they reconsider this.
Sir, can I ask you just one clarification?
Yes, sir.
And I'm all for sober policymaking. So I want to just ask you about. So we're very clear about where there may be a disagreement. Do you challenge the notion of an off-site fee?
No.
So we're just talking about the on-site fee.
That's me. Others may, and there may be some rationality to that, but I haven't.
But I'm just asking
issue.
For you.
I have not looked at that issue.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your time.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Bob Turner. I'm a retired university professor. I live at McAdam Bay Marina with my wife, who is a retired physician. I am going to curtail the remarks that I had to make because some of the previous remarks have made me question. I do believe that, as you've heard before, the runoff from our houses is not going into any sort of stormwater pipes or facilities that are supplied by the city. It seems to me that in the absence of the use of any city facilities by that stormwater, that this is not a fee. It is a tax. and it is a tax that is being directed at a particular group of individuals. And I would point out that the estimates that I've received so far indicate that this is about $28 per month per each of the 1,000 floating homes in the Portland community. And that amounts to about $330,000 a year. I would submit that this is an issue that needs to be looked at much more carefully, and that it is not appropriate to be imposing this tax under the guise of a fee. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Afternoon. I'm Bob Hume, a long time, 50 years to be exact, resident at the Oregon Yacht Club Moorage on the Willamette. As a floating homeowner, I'm going to appeal to a sense of fairness here. I urge the council to say no to the code change before you. My argument would be that we, as a mortgage, already pay for the upland impervious areas